We're working on a project at our house. We used to have a pool that was broken, so that just becomes a hole. I'm working on filling this hole up, and you kind of look at it and you start to say, well, how hard could it be just to fill something up? We found it's very hard. It's a lot of preparation, a lot of extra work, and it's one of those projects that we found that in order to do the one thing that you want to do, you have to do something else somewhere else to clear off a spot, and then you have to do something to that one, and eventually you're about six projects away from the one that you wanted to do, and you don't even remember what you were there to do in the first place. And so that's how this project has been going. We've been going for about a month now, and it's been a lot of work, a lot of construction kind of stuff. It's been fun, but you know how these kind of things go, that when you're doing the one project, everything in your life sort of skews over, kind of, I'll do that part later. And we found that to be the case with stuff in our yard, too. Since I'm working by the pool, everything that was by the pool moves over. So now, all of a sudden, the swing that we had gets moved to where Sam's sandbox was. And now Sam's sandbox is on the patio next to the sliding glass door into the house. And eventually it gets to the point where you've got your patio furniture in your dining room, and you're sleeping on your dining room table, and everything sort of skews, and our house has sort of become kind of a mess in the process. A couple of weeks ago, Sam and I were outside working, and I had the wheelbarrow out, and I started to hear a voice at our front gate, and I panicked. Because we were in no way ready to receive guests of any kind. And I looked at me and I'm just covered in dirt and the house is in disarray. Sam is pantsless. And because that, apparently that's a really good way to work construction for a three-year-old. It's cute, he's three. When he does it when he's 40, we'll talk. But so, you know, we're not ready for guests at all. And so I kind of go into this panic mode, and you know what I'm talking about, right? There's like three different levels of house cleanliness. There's dirty, and then there's clean, and then there's guest-ready clean, which is a totally different thing than just clean, right? And I think you can tell by magazines, right? So if your house is dirty, your magazines are spread out all over the place. If your house is clean, they're in a nice stack, or maybe you do the fan. I don't know. If your house is guest-ready clean, the magazines are put away and like a copy of the Iliad is put on the table instead. Just for some light reading. When a guest comes over, you plan and you clean and you scrub, and it's all for the benefit of when you open the door, you can go, oh, I didn't expect you so early. The house is such a mess right now. It's hard to explain to a three-year-old, too, why we have a set of towels that nobody is allowed to dry their hands on, let alone a 33-year-old why we have these towels. Thankfully, the person at the door was a salesperson, and we didn't need to make lifelong friends with him and invite him in for dinner or anything, so it was okay, but that panic was real. What if it's somebody that we need to invite in and they see how we're living right now while this project is going on? And I haven't really talked to Lori about it too much, but I had a feeling that as soon as she started to hear voices and a knock at the front, she instinctively started to change the towels in the house. This is Advent. We started a new season. We're no longer green, we're blue. I look amazing in blue, so it's wonderful. I say that every season because it's true every season. It's a special season in the air, and you kind of think because we're coming into the church, you look around outside, it's Christmas already. And, they start off with a bang. We have Brown Thursday. Have you heard that term? It's what we used to call Thanksgiving. It's now the day that stores are starting to open up instead of Black Friday. Black Friday is the next day. That's the biggest holiday in the secular world at this point. People rush out, and there are doorbuster specials. Imagine having that as what you want. You're encouraging people to break down your doors to get these special deals. And so, in the outside world, it's already Christmas. It's already baby Jesus. But in the church calendar, we take things a little bit slower. We want to tell the full story. why we need a Savior before the Savior comes. And so, if you were expecting a story about little baby Jesus, you're going to have to wait about 4 weeks. Because in the church, we start with the story of the reason for his coming. Not just the first time, but for his return. And the importance of him coming and coming soon. It's a season of expectation and anticipation. And so we start with a lot of this stuff about the end of the world, the coming, the return of Jesus, which is really not the end of the world, but the start of the world. I was reading a C.S. Lewis quote this week that essentially said that, you know, when we constantly are trying to satisfy our things that are not of this world, perhaps we were meant to live for more than this world. And that's exactly right. We were meant for so much more than this. And Jesus is coming to bring us and restore us to who we were intended to be. That's what this season is about, is that expectation that he is coming again. And I shared a few weeks ago that I was really terrified about this concept of Jesus' return like a thief in the night, because I knew that I wasn't on his team. And this idea that he would come and he would gather up his people. And for some who weren't on his team, who said no to him and didn't know who he was, that represented a Christless eternity. That was terrifying to me. And I think that's the point, though. Because in order to really appreciate the Savior coming, we need to understand what we've been saved from. In order to have hope in his return, we have to be thankful for what he has done for us. And as I shared on Thanksgiving, the only way that we can be truly thankful is if thankfulness gives birth to right actions. True thanksgiving responds with right actions. And so what does this have to do with our gospel today? Well, in order to fully understand what the Lord is saving us from, what he is coming into this world, we need to really truly understand what it means to want him to return. You know, if Christmas is baby Jesus, then Advent is John the Baptist, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. He is coming at any moment, in the blink of an eye. So straighten the paths and make the way for him. And I love the line in the gospel today that Jesus shares. He says, when you see these things happening all around you, when you see these signs, know that I am coming. I am very near, right at the door. Amen. Isn't that really interesting? He shares that he is not just a far way off, but right at the door. That he stands at the door and he's knocking. That's what Advent means. Advent is the season of God at the door. And so what does this mean for our lives? I don't know about you, but if I'm thinking he's a long way off, I don't prepare my house very much for his coming. You know, your house doesn't need to be guest ready if the guest is a long way off. Maybe you don't put out the guest towels yet. Maybe they're deep in the drawers. Maybe you just shove everything into your junk drawer. And eventually all the drawers in your house become junk drawers. Maybe that's what happens. Maybe your house is in such disarray because you're not expecting him to come at any moment. I don't know about you, but when my actual house looks like that, when we get on the when we hear a knock at the door, we are filled with anxiety and uneasiness. So what does that mean to live as God is at the door? My grandpa used to talk about a preacher who would come to his town, and he would come up and he says, when God returns, this is 85 years ago, by the way, when God returns, how is he going to find you? Is he going to find you at a pool hall? Is God going to find you with lipstick on? And my grandpa shares this, and it's kind of silly, right? But admittedly, ever since I've heard that, I haven't worn lipstick once. It's a silly silly idea, right? Chapstick doesn't count as lipstick. It's a silly idea, right? But the point remains that are you living like God is right at the door? Is your house ready for his coming? This is a season of God at the door. And I don't know about you, but are you in that apathetical coma of cleanliness or lack of cleanliness that just says we're comfortable, we're safe, it's okay that our house has a little bit of dust in it? Or do you understand that maybe your house needs a little bit of spiritual cleaning? Maybe you're uneasy about him knocking at the door. And that probably means that you're not ready. This is a season of preparation. This is a season of God at the door. And so maybe it's time for some housekeeping. Maybe it's time to clean out those areas in our lives that we have stuffed away. Maybe our house has seemed clean, but is it really guest-ready clean? Because this is a season of God at the door, and he stands at the door and he knocks. Are you ready to invite him in? Maybe in your prayer time, maybe in your time alone with God, ask him, God, is there anything in my life that is not ready for you? Maybe those areas that I've hidden away and kind of hidden as junk, but you see all things. I invite you not just into the cleanest room in my house, but the whole place. This is a season of God at the door. He knocks. Are you ready to invite him in? Let's pray. Lord, we say, come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We also know that there are some who are not ready for your return. The idea that you would come in power and glory sends some in fear and anxiety. But Lord, we ask that those who are there, who are fearful of that time, they might just come to the foot of the cross and know that they can be saved. That all of the junk that they're hiding away can just be given over to you. And it's not anything that they have to do, but just offer it to the Lord. That your blood cleanses. Your coming gives us hope. Your dwelling with us means that we can dwell with you forever. Lord, we ask for any who are uneasy about this, that right now they would give their hearts over to Jesus, trusting in his blood, his sacrifice, that we might offer to Jesus the greatest gift we can, which is our very selves. Lord, we pray that this would be a season of joy and anticipation and wonderful excitement as we await you standing at the door and knocking, that we might invite you in, into our hearts, and that you would make ourselves your temple. Prepare our hearts for your coming. In Jesus' name. Amen.